Lee and Herring, wrongfully encouraged by 1FM.
Black Flag there with Louie Louie. That's one of the pieces of music that was rubbish.
No, it was good. That's good, that is.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Sorry. If Stu says it's good, it must be. Now we're lucky enough to be joined by Timothy Robinson from the British Council of Sporting Events. So, I want to talk to you about British sport.
It's quite a young and upbeat programme, this, isn't it?
It is fairly.
My teenage son would like this.
Oh, he would, yeah.
If I were married and had children.
Timothy nearly didn't make it because he was in the toilet just before we were doing this, but he managed to get out. He is human like the rest of us. I was wondering about why British sports, you know, Britain are doing so badly.
Yeah, well, you know, basically, you know, their profile on the international sports stage is very poor at the moment. I mean, if you just look at the what happened with the World Cup just there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what's Brazil doing in the World Cup? I mean, we invented football, you know, and we're not there. And what have the Brazilians ever given us? You know, hopscotch. You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it'd be like, you know, if there was a world dike building competition and Holland weren't in it, you know, and England were, how would they feel?
You
know,
so
with
suggesting
their clubs
that,
and their explicit pornography.
Are you suggesting that the other team should let England win because they invented the game? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, shutting the barn door when the horse has gone for a drink and all that, you know, what I'm suggesting here is, what we're coming up with is that British teams should have new training techniques to make them a more effective team.
All right,
and some of the ideas we've had is like teaching our players the rudiments of hypnotism so they could whisper suggestions to opposing players, you know, like you know, you're not very good at football. Or, you know, you are a primping, posing fool with terrible dress sense. Obviously, there'd be no need for hypnotism if you're facing the Mexican goalkeeper there.
That's very good. I understand you've got some British sport making up some new sports that Britain makes seller.
Well, yeah, we've come up with some new sports and see how we do. We got to Chase the Floor, which is based on greyhound track racing. And what we got is we thought we'd have a load of fat people in pants chasing after an electric milk floor full of cakes and assorted confectionery just outside their reach. And look, here's the beauty, right? They'd be followed by people in slow-moving cars with big spikes on the front to keep them moving. You know,
so they'd have to keep in front of the cars, but
well, what we have here is a finely tuned balance in that the pursuer is also the pursued, and of course we have the added comic aspect to the fact that if the fat person slows down too much, the spike will puncture them in the bottom.
What about Wimbledon? Because we didn't do very well at Wimbledon. I saw a few of the games.
Well, Wimbledon. I mean, it's shameful, isn't it? You know, I mean. What chance do we stand against your nimble-footed Swede or your energetic Czech or your aggressively fleet American? You know, what we thought we'd do is that we should from now on plant a landmine on the court, arbitrarily placed, sort of even up the advantages a bit.
Give the British players a chance.
Give them a bit, because
they
it's
might
the
be
foreign
killed.
Ones that move about, you see.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Timothy. Some great ideas
My
for new
pleasure.
Sports there. Thanks for coming in. Coming up next, this is Matt Keating from the album Tell It To Yourself. This is called Sanity In The Asylum.
Everybody's in chains. They're clanking around. And I must be in trouble. They're coming out black in my heyday. I looking for sympathy, 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 so I can sure use some. I'm just looking for sanity, 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 in the asylum. I keep blowing my mind, my heart's on fast forward, and my soul is stuck on rewind, always wondering why. There's no time to cry, it's all irrelevant now. It's all irrelevant now. It's all irrelevant now. I threw myself on the track, but the train was delayed. So I picked up an axe and started chopping it away. And I'm not looking for misery, 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 closer to come. I'm just looking for sanity, sanity, sanity in the asylum.
He's odd, this bloke, isn't he? Strange.
Someone says go with the flow. Last I heard they drowned, but you never know. Might have been fat.
Come and worship at the Church of Lee and Herring.
I threw myself on the track, but the train was late. So I picked up an axe and started chopping away. And I'm not looking for sympathy, 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 so I can show you some.
Herring and Lee on 1FM, little better than dogs.
Rich, I had just had another mad thought, because I was in the toilet and I was having a wee, and I looked down in the urinal, and you know those little blocks, those little, like, solid blocks? They look like sort of sugar mice stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
And I imagined if you ate it, if you had one of those in your mouth, because it'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Because it'd be like, taste of wee and everything.
Might taste a lemon, they look a bit lemony. I had a mad thought, actually, as well. You know, there's this big church outside the studio here with a big point, it's a very pointed steeple. I wondered if you sat on top of that, would you be able to balance, or would you sort of slip down onto the point? And if so, how far down onto the point would you go before you stopped? Just thought, and how would you get up there, I suppose?
It might become a new sort of religious decoration that then be venerated as a kind of god.
Could be, I hope so. But anyway, there's a lot of pressure in this society for people to, like, do everything, isn't there, in nice little romantic, horrible little nice couples. But I don't conform to that, you know, because I don't conform to the laws of our so-called land. Mainly because no one will sort of come out with me. Mm. But that doesn't stop me having fun. Oh, no. It's the weekend and I've come away to this wonderful five-star hotel in Suffolk. I couldn't persuade any girl to come with me, so I've come on my own. But I don't feel embarrassed or sad in any way. I'm here to have a dirty weekend on my own. Here goes.
Hello, sir. Can I help you?
I'd like a room, please. A single room.
Yes, sir.
I'm on my own.
Right. Your name?
It's Smith. Mr. Smith. I'm married, but my wife hasn't come with me.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
I'll be wanting dinner in my room, the chef's speciality, candlelight, soft music, and your finest champagne. With one glass.
Of course, sir. Have a nice day.
Thanks. Oh, and could you put the adult channel on for me as well, please?
I already had, Mr. Smith.
Room service?
Hold on a minute. Oh, God.
Your meal, sir?
Yeah, okay, come in. Come in. Sorry about the delay. I was just, you know, well, I'm here on my own, you know. Must happen all the time.
Yes. Very good, sir.
Oh, and could you just put the Do Not Disturb sign on your way out?
Sir.
Thank you. Oh. Oh, yes, baby. Do it that way. Mm. Oh. Oh, I'm so good. It's the next morning. I've had a wild night, I can tell you, and I can see from everyone's astonished faces how impressed they are. Hey, sorry about the noise, mate. Hope I didn't keep you awake, eh? You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I've been up to. My key?
Have you had a nice day, sir?
Well, I didn't get much sleep, if you know what I mean.
Thank you. Hope to see you again.
Yeah, bye. Oh, and you better get a couple more toilet rolls up for room 23, I think, OK? Mm-hmm. And don't say anything if you see me here again with a different hand. I feel all dirty and wrong now.
So you should, Rich, so you should.
Take your tiny feet out of your mother's shoes. Oh, there is going to be a terrible scene. It's not just a lipstick drawn on crooked when they find how wicked we are, how wicked we have been, how I've been tempted. How you dreamed every step you tripped at every step you tripped at every step. Oh, how you dreamed every step.
This is Elvis Costello. It's neither good nor rubbish. It's just in between.
There's a merry tune that starts an eye and ends in you, like many famous pop songs do. And you would sing along with little telltale staggers while balancing on daggers, though they were killing you. You look so deadly. As you dribbled every step, you tripped at every step, you tripped at every step. Oh, as you dribbled every step.
Rich, you know, in that hotel, what were you doing?
Darkness would become the underneath the table as the fury raged around the house. Your despairing tread was angry and unstable. You never suspected, just as that country mouse went undetected. The world of gin and cigarettes, those cocktail cabinets put mud in your eye. Maybe that is why you find it hard to see me. And if you don't believe me, before you start to cry, don't ever leave me.
Have you got any of your lifestyle tips for us, Pete? Anyway, that's what you're here for.
Yeah, I've got a nice recipe. It's a traditional Sunday lunch. Well, it's traditional for me and my brother Charlie anyway. And what you need for this is a sausage, some string, and a packet of pork scratchings. Incidentally, that's a frozen sausage. If you've got a frozen sausage but you haven't got a fridge that works like I have, then just hide it in the newsagent's freezer and then just go and get it when you need it. But be careful. I mean, they just shake their head when I walk out with a sausage in my hand. Anyway, the recipe is take the sausage, cover it in the scratchings, like that, then tie it all up very tight with a string to make like a small joint of pork sausage covered in pork scratchings, and then finally put that on a preheated radiator for about an hour, and that's called Little Pork, and you serve that with fresh vegetables, say pickle-flavoured Monster Munch, and smash, and for the applesauce, a piece of apple ties.
Lovely, that sounds nice, good. Yeah. Thank you.
High Drama now with Tony Christie from the HCD retrospective. My name is Tony Christie. My wallet is my resume. This is Avenues and Alleyways.
Sleep like a baby. My little lady, dream till the sunrise creeps into your eyes. Dream till the sunrise turns on the day.
I was just thinking, if you were buying ice cream or something, right, you went to the ice cream van and you bought loads and loads of ice cream. Say you bought, I don't know, half, all the ice cream he's got, say, in the van, and you dropped it on the pavement.
Surely he wins, though, doesn't he? Because you bought his ice cream.
Yeah, but then you could sneer.
Thanks very much, Dean.
Wake up, my pretty. Go to the city. Stay through the daytime, safe in the sunshine, stay till the daytime turns into night. In the avenues and alleyways, where a man's gotta work out which side he's on.
We've got Danny O'Brien. Say hello, Dan.
Hi, Stu.
Danny's here as our sort of interface with the spoiled world of the internet on computers. Tell us a bit about the internet, then.
Basically, it's a sort of telephone system for computers that enables people with computers to talk to one another and exchange any form of information, like sound, graphics.
So what sort of things have you picked up on it?
Well, what Rich asked me to do is to try and find some dirty pictures on the net, which seems to be very popular. And the first up of these, I don't know whether you want to have a look at this, right, Stuart, and that's a video cover of The Little Mermaid, one of the very first editions.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
A little joker in the art department actually secreted a small picture of a male genitalia in the background in the submarine palace. Usually Disney are a bit down on this sort of thing. Don't mess with the mouse.
And the next one there is?
This next one is slightly different. This is from back in 1977.
Right, what we've got here is, this is downloaded from the net. It's a Star Wars trading card where there's a picture of C-3PO and he's been given an enormous metal penis.
Yes, it has. So we've seen a pattern here emerging. Right.
Are there any ones of not male pictures?
And what about actual information rather than just rude pictures?
Well, obviously, while I was looking around looking for Star Wars, I had to go through several megabytes of Star Wars information. I thought you might be interested in this one, knowing your interest in religion.
Yes.
This is from a man called Blue Lou at Delphi.com, and he writes, "Some of you may think this is going too far. As of the 14th of the 7th, 1994, I officially adopt the Force as my practicing religion. I no longer consider myself a Catholic or a believer in an almighty God." Believer, two words, like spelling mistake there. Think about it. Isn't a Force in place of a God a lot more believable?
Well, well done to you, Blue Lou, and may the Force be with you.
We were talking about the Muppets earlier on, and just to wrap up all of this, I've got a few things that people have got confused about on the Muppets. This is from Out.TV Muppets, the frequently asked question list. And it says here, several times a year, this group receives a panic-stricken posting from a new reader who's heard the rumour that the beloved Sesame Street character, Ernie, is dying. Dying of leukaemia. They've actually phoned up a spokesman for the Children's Television Workshop. He says, oh no, not again. Ernie is not dying of AIDS. He's not dying of leukaemia. Ernie is a puppet. And they are immortal.
So that's a fact from the electronic media. Ernie is alive.
And if anybody wants to send in any more weird and wonderful information for Stu and Rich, the sort of thing they're interested in is puppets and pornography, the email account is Dobrien, D-O-B-R-I-E-N, at kix.compulink.co.uk.
Yeah, if that makes any sense at all to anyone.
Telephone
out there.
Numbers are easy, aren't they?
I haven't got a computer or access to one. Could I get involved in it?
No, there's no chance of you doing that.
Well, thanks for coming in, Danny. You can contact us at the Dobrien Kix Compulink Co UK.
Nice first try there, Stu.
Address.
Now it's time for go back to Pete with some chip advice.
That's right. In the last series, I had a letter from a guy called Michael And in Hull, and he wrote, Dear Peter, every time I go to the chip shop, I order medium chips, a saveloy, and a beef and onion pie, which, incidentally, I recommend to all your listeners. Anyway, I always get a bit flustered when I've ordered my chips, because they say open or wrapped. The trouble is that I can't wait to eat the chips, because they smell nice, and so part of me wants to say open, but the other part of me knows that if I eat them on the way home, when I get in, I'll have that really empty feeling of having nothing to eat, and therefore to do. So that side of me says, have them wrapped. The problem got so bad that every time they say open or wrapped, I just run out of the chip shop without my chips. Well, here, there's a couple of things you can do here, Michael. Number one, lean over the counter and have a few chips before they wrap them. Or my favourite, which is number two, order large chips. Then when you leave, poke a sort of hole in the bag with your finger and eat five chips on the way home. That's one outside the chip shop. You could have one as you pass in the health centre, then one at the bottom of Carminia Road, one by the lamppost halfway up, you know, the one that flickers, and then one outside the house before you go in, and then just go in and have the rest. So, good luck.
Thanks very much, Pete. Is that it?
Yeah.
Got anything else
to
say? No? Okay, well, if you want to write into Pete, it's the same address as everything else. Room 125, 16 Langham Street, W1A1AA.
Yeah. Something else we got to write in about, actually, and that's, if you saw the papers last week, you'll have read about how Boots were developing a film of some guy called Jonathan Irving, and they saw a cannabis plant in one of the pictures at the back, so they rang the police, and then the police came down to Boots and arrested him on their tip-off when he picked up his photos. Seems a bit hypocritical of Boots,
that's outrageous.
And unfair, and we're wondering if, you know, they're going to get people for other things. I mean, for a start, Boots sell drugs anyway.
They sell a lot of drugs, they make a lot of money out of selling drugs, and then they criticise a bloke just for having a plant.
About that, yeah, it's, you know, having a go at him about that, unfair. Also, like, where's it going to end? You know, it's kind of 1984 mind control type thing. Like, if they look in photos and see someone's got a tax disc that's a bit out of date, is there going to be trouble with that?
Or if, like, they've got one of those, like, blokes all mooning, showing their arses, are they going to, like, get, you know, them for exposure, find out who they are, check their arses, and then, you know, get the police onto them?
So, yeah, Boots, unfair, right? If they see, like, a photo of someone coveting someone else's ox or something like that, is it going to be trouble?
There will be.
But no, check them out. And if you would like, until that point, we'd like to, like, get some kind of petitions together saying how much you hate Boots for doing that and send them in to us. And until they've, you know, apologised to us here on Lee and Herring, we're saying to you, do not shop at Boots.
Well, unless you're quite unwell and there aren't any other chemists around then.
I'm considering a move to Memphis with my hair all aglow. When I arrive in Memphis, I'm bound to meet up with someone I might know. I'm considering a move to Memphis, a move to Memphis. I'm considering. I'll visit the Graceland mansion and set my face in wax, then go back to my motel room to file my income tax. I'm considering a move to Memphis, and this much I know, when I arrive in Memphis, I'll have to spend my dough. I'll walk down to Beale Street to watch the jug band show. I'll shake hands with Gus Cannon, he's someone I should know. I'll get myself a motel room that's not too small to see. I'll get one with a private bath on a black and white TV. Memphis isn't all that big, at least that's how I found it. Why, it only took an hour and a half to walk completely around it. Memphis isn't all that big, it isn't all that wide. Still, it is the kind of place where a country boy can hide.
Lee and Herring on 1FM, running away from important things.
I'm considering a move to Memphis, a move to Memphis. I'm considering.
Well, that's all for this week. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks to Peter, Kevin, Danny, Rebecca Front, our producer Sarah Smith, and to me, Stuart Lee and Richard Herring. And don't forget to send stuff in either to the internet or to our address,
which is Lee and Herring, room 125, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A, 1AA.
This is Colourblind James' experience from about 7 years back, and a song called I'm Considering a Move to Memphis.
I'm considering staying in Balham.
Good idea.
It's good there.
Here are a few ideas you might like to try for the coming week. Why not cross out your father's face in all family photographs?
Why not try expanding to your full width?
Why not train insects to speak?
Or one thing you could do is take some Polaroids of yourself looking concerned and disapproving, and then send them to people that you don't like.
Lee and Herring. They sound like a brand of Worcestershire sauce. Apart from Herring, which is different to Perrins by three whole letters.
Also, Lee is spelt different.
And here's Mark Radcliffe.
Hooray!
This download is brought to you by www.thisstuffband.net.